Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, with your coverage of the Texas Revolution. It's the pregame show of your Texas Revolution at home, taking on the Duke City Gladiators. But I bet you wonder what happened last week. How about we go ahead, let's recap what we've seen out on the football field with your Texas Revolution as they traveled to San Angelo, Texas to take on the San Angelo Bandits. Here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.
Second down. Crawford releases two wide receivers each side. Back, and he hands the ball off. And up the middle, up the gut. Touchdown for Hatley and the Bandits. So the Bandits on the snap, down, kick up. It's blocked by your Texas Revolution. Missed off to the left-hand side. Two men are going to be in motion each side. Fudge is moving in a fly pattern. Take it off of him. Here comes the rush. Pass across the middle. Touchdown! Revolution on the tip. Here come your Revolution on first down. They are jarred. Look at them. They're so excited. Ball release. Gives it to Fudge. To the far side. He shifts the field. He's at the 15 to the 10. 5. Touchdown! Revolution! Darius Fudge goes to the far side, then brings it back and gives it for the fake pitch. Looking around. Pass over the middle. Touchdown! Revolution! Gordon in the back of the end zone. He was all by himself there. Wood looks this one over. The ball snapped. Ball's kicked. It's going to be way short. Frankie Solomon Jr. going to bring it. He's to the 10, to the 15. He might break it midfield. To the 20. There come the Bandits, and they're going to get on him. But look at Frankie Solomon Jr. carry about half of the defenders down to the 10-yard line of the first down and goal for your Texas Revolution. As there's going to be a man in motion, they get the snap, give it to Fudge. Fudge, touch! Down. Revolution has Fudge from the hole on the right hand
center.
Side.
Releases the wide receivers. Gives it to Fudge.
Touchdown. Revolution. It's fourth down and goal from the 7-yard line. So Kent's going to be in shotgun. 2 minutes in motion. Bottom of your screen. Back to pass. Kent has the ball. Fires it. Touchdown. Revolution. Marcus Jenkins off the rocket from Robert Kent. Revolution get the touchdown.
All right, you missed it if you didn't make the trip down to San Angelo as the Revolution got their first victory of the 2015 season as they went on and beat the San Angelo Bandits 42-36. So it was one of those games, though, as you were there and you were watching it, you were wondering what the mindset was. And that was a very interesting thing as I was on the road for the first time with the Revolution. Normally, we call our games via a media feed. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. It just worked out a little bit better. We were able to be right there. And I normally don't make my way down to the locker room. I just normally like to let that be their domain, let that be where they are going to do what they do, and talk the way they need to talk, to pump each other up. So I actually snuck down and went back into the area to where they were at halftime. And folks, I want to tell you something about this football team. Because it's definitely not something I expected as far as me being on the road, okay? I get the opportunity to be in the locker room before the game. It's a different atmosphere. At halftime, I like to stay away and let their coaches do what they got to do. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something about this football game at halftime. It is something I never experienced on the professional level before. And that's the reason why I got to talk about it, because it's so important here on the pregame show of your Texas Revolution taking on the Duke City Gladiators here tonight at the Allen Event Center. And I'm just wondering if this has been happening through the times of halftime where I didn't go down and I looked and watched the guys and seen the interaction of the team at halftime. But I got to see it firsthand. And folks, I want to tell you, it's something that you have to look at and you have to ask yourself when you're, what is your expectations of what you see in a locker room? And you can say what you want. The expectations, you know, as far as what I have dealt with over the years, as far as professional sports is concerned, I was truly amazed about what I seen out on in back in the locker room. Truly amazed. And I'm talking about some things when I wrote an article, and it was a little bit. You know, I tried to be a little bit funny in the article. You know, my first trip for the Texas Revolution. But one of the things that I went over in that article is that I talked about some of the things that I thought I knew. And one of the things that I thought I knew is that players only cared when they were in the game. And, you know, what I learned in San Angelo is that at least our players, okay, and I'm just going by what I've seen with our players. I didn't go on the other side, and that's not my business over there, just for the Texas Revolution. These guys want everybody to be in the game, whether it's on offense or defense, whether someone is playing their position that they play or not. They want them to play well. I mean, let's be honest, everybody wants to be in the game to make the big play. I mean, who wouldn't? But what was going on down on the football field as far as the locker room at halftime was concerned? Totally unexpected. And I'm going to put it out there. I don't think this is coaching. I think this is a camaraderie between players to be that different player and that different team. Now, it's probably got a little influence from the coaches, but I think this is something that these guys, they got a kinship. And I saw this firsthand. It's like, again, I don't go down to the locker room. I don't watch during halftime. I want coach to be able to coach and not have to worry about someone around or overhearing something. I want coach to be able to coach. But they were losing at halftime. And they knew, and folks, I'm going to tell you right now, they knew they were going to win that football game even though they were down at halftime. So that was a great sight. And really, I'll be honest, when I went down there, I expected to see some crazy panic going on. And instead, what I saw in San Angelo, okay, at halftime, was a football team that was focused. They weren't yelling at each other. They weren't yelling at guys who made mistake out on the football field. What they were actually doing in this whole thing after they, you know, when I went down there, I expected to see the yelling and screaming going on. But they weren't. They weren't yelling at someone because they made a mistake. They were encouraging each other, helping with words instead of hurting. And that's a huge difference, too. Showing each other what they needed to do instead of telling them or screaming at them. Showing them. And I'm going to tell you, that really, in my mind, defined what this team is all about. That word team is huge. The team took the responsibility of them being down at halftime. It wasn't one person's mistake. It was the team. Not one individual's bad play, but the team. You know what they say about I and team. You know, they usually talk about that as the guy that is really huge. You know, like, and I'm not saying LeBron James is, but LeBron James, I and team. I'm the guy. But when you're losing, the I and team is every, you know, there's no I and team even when you're losing as well. And the Texas Revolution, I think they were right there. So they weren't crazy panicked at halftime like I thought that they would be. And, you know, going back to what I thought coaches were the only one that coached. And boy, I couldn't have been more wrong as far as that was concerned as well. What I learned in San Angelo is that everyone is participating and helping each other. And they have many coaches to listen to, and they listen intensely. They're looking in the coaches' eyes. But after they're done talking to the coaches, they go and they talk to each other. And they, again, how to get off block, showing them how to get off block, not just telling them. Listening to someone who was watching on the side and not taking offense. They listened to each other. They didn't say, you know, I know that, or get out of my face. I just didn't see it. I think they knew the value of someone else seeing what they may not on the sideline. And I also learned that, you know, in that game, you know, players who make mistakes, boy, oh boy, they really want to redeem themselves. There's something to be said about someone who makes a mistake and truly wants to make it right by either creating or doing something to make up for it. And I don't think they necessarily are doing that because they don't want to get cut from the team. I think they want to do it because they really and truly don't want to let their teammates down. And I saw that. And I saw that in halftime. I saw it out on the football field. I've seen the desire to want to make up for a mistake. And that's the love of the game. That's the passion of the game. And that's what you get. So that's what we saw in San Angelo. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what this Duke City Gladiator team is all about. And let's hear from the owner. I had an interview with him a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to go on and bring on the owner of the Duke City Gladiators, and we'll do that here after the break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm here with appliance tips so simple, even a 9-year-old can do them. Make sure you rinse the food off your plates before putting them in the dishwasher. Food will gunk up the dishwasher and clog the sprayers. If you need help, call my daddy, Tyler Atkins, at A-Plus Certified Appliance, 972-890-5014.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it.
I meant turn left up ahead.
Recalculating. Turn right now!
And your 15-minute insurance might not pay for all this, so get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Recalculating.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to get a hold of Allstate and their representative, Jerome Moore, at 202 North Allen Drive, Suite B in Allen, Texas, or give them a call at 469-656-3233. That's 469-656-3233.
The Century 21 brand has become synonymous with one name, Mike Bowman, honorably distinguished to remain the number one office in the world in closed transactions, not just once or twice, but an astounding 16 times. Discover for yourself how the dedicated team at Century 21 Mike Bowman can make your real estate transaction the best you will ever experience. At C21Bowman.
She's lollygagging and you're missing out on sweet deliciousness. Dare you pass her? What's the worst that could happen?
Did you just line jump me?
No.
She's a line jumper.
Yeah, you're a line jumper.
Joshua David.
Grandma?
Totally worth it.
Cece's Pizza Pasta Salad and Dessert Buffet for an unbelievably low price. Almost too good to be true.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show for our pregame show. I have online with a lot of news that are going on in the CIF with the loss of one team and the quick addition to the other. I got the team that's going to jump in and take over for the rest of the season for the New Mexico Stars. He's one of the owners here of the City Gladiators. I got on Matt Coward. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. It's a common mistake, but the last name is pronounced K-word.
K-word, got it. Very good. Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
So, Matt, you get the opportunity as far as the Stars.
I guess my question is when you heard about the Stars taking the rest of the season off, what was the opportunity? Was it, hey, this is an opportunity, even though we were looking at 2016, to get a little taste of what's going on? Or how did that whole thing unravel as it happened over there in New Mexico?
Well, as you can imagine, it happened very, very quickly. We got news that actually it started when Coach Lamonte, their head coach, resigned from that organization. And so I reached out to him, and we talked quite a bit about us starting a team up and putting a team together. I had been moving forward with putting a team together. I actually used to work for the Stars organization. I actually played as a backup quarterback the first two seasons they were in New Mexico. I signed up with them to be a quarterback coach the third year they were here, when Coach Bramante was here for the first year, because he killed my dream of playing football anymore. He wouldn't sign me a contract. So I kid with him that he's the dream killer for me, but he was gracious enough to give me a position on his staff, which I am very blessed for. I learned an incredible amount from him as one of his coaches, because he doesn't just coach his players. Well, he coaches his staff, and he coaches them very well, and he teaches. He loves to teach. I mean, he's an incredible teacher, incredible speaker, incredible person. And so I was very lucky to be on staff with him for the whole season, and he afforded me that opportunity, which I'm very thankful for. So we started, when he resigned from that organization, I immediately reached out to him. He went back to Oklahoma and was moving on with his life. You know, things didn't work out for him the way he had hoped here, and so he was moving on. So, I reached out and I said, what if we moved ahead? What if we put this team together this year in a matter, now it's late. So we were looking at leagues like the X League and other leagues that would be starting later in the season at the possibility. What if we got it together this year? He was always saying, and he's the eternal optimist now. He was saying, not a chance. There's no way he can do it. It's not going to happen. And, we were moving very quickly to try to do that because the overweighing reason, I guess, the biggest reason we decided to go after this thing this year was a couple of things. The biggest one is the players. You know, if a player has to sit out a season in this game, it's detrimental to them.
Definitely.
Very, very difficult at that point to try to get back in. To sit a season out would essentially kill a person's career or their dream to chase to get back into the league or to play at this level. So, those players have committed to coach, and so it was, it's a dual relationship there with players and coaches. Coach is very much, it's high on his priority list to get players up, get them moving up. And he recruits players that want to move up, and he can afford them that opportunity with his connections with the league and his connections with Arena One and other coaches on our staff's connections with the CFL. Those are legitimate. He's got, close friends in those areas that work in the leagues, including the NFL. And so that's a reality for the players that go with him. But there's a trust level there, as you can imagine, and it's very important
to be.
There has to be. You're exactly right.
And so, I guess the question would be is, when he has that trust, how many of the players did he bring over from the search? Was it all of them, a fraction of the amount?
All the players that he recruited, I believe every one of those players that he recruited is coming over with us. So they were absolutely committed to him. When I offered him the job here, with this organization, and told him that we would be pursuing getting into a league. We didn't know what league it was at the time. He was all in with that. So we were talking, and it was very important to us to move forward with the team this year. So we got in contact with the players. Coach re-recruited them, essentially, and we moved forward, and we started looking for a league at that point, putting everything together. The CIF got in contact with us as a new organization, asked if we were committed to another league yet. We said no, and they said we want to join the fray or start talks about the possibility of you guys coming in late with us. So we spent a lot of hours on the phone with several owners, the franchise committee, and we started negotiating. And they were very accommodating. They were incredibly supportive, and they helped out in a great way for us to put together a team. So, you know, and that's been the story all the way around. I mean, people have been coming from everywhere with an incredible amount of support and encouragement and, you know, all of the things that we need with, you know, finances and, you know, equipment and players and staff. I mean, everybody has been it's been overwhelming. I mean, it's absolutely overwhelming. And, you know, I'm so happy with what has accomplished in such a quick time. I mean, my goodness, try to put together a franchise in 3 weeks. It's not an easy task, as you can imagine, as anybody can imagine. So, you know, we're very blessed. We're very lucky. So,
yeah, that's the question. I mean, you just opened it. You just kind of got this, you know, idea rolling, and then you kind of put this thing to bed in 10 days. I mean, so kind of guide us through that whole situation. You get the call, which is good, and you get the interest, which is also good. But you also had other leagues going. I know Mike Mint probably was trying to come in contact with you from the X League. You know, so the determining factor, I mean, even though the X League starts a couple of weeks later, so that might have been more ideal for you, but was it the travel? Because that's a long way to go with some of those teams that are over there.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, you know, making a decision like this is not easy at all. There's a lot. There are so many factors involved. And Mike Minks with the X League, he was great too. I mean, we had some, you know, a lot of conversations about how we do this, how we move this around, what teams are going to come out here. I mean, it takes a lot, especially coming into a league that's already got their schedule set.
Yeah.
And that was a situation with both leagues. They had come up with another plan in the CIF, how they were going to fill the schedule and stuff. And so, you know, Mike Meeks is, you know, a great guy. Yeah, he runs a fantastic league. We just, you know, he had an offer on the table, and we were working through it, and then the CIF came along. We started talking with them, and, you know, it came down to finances, came down to travel, and it came down to, here's one of the big factors for me. It was the situation that the CIF was put in because of a team that had committed and then dropped out right at the last second. Can be devastating to all the ownership group in any league. That would,
yes,
you know, that would be very difficult for any league and the teams. That's who it hurts. It hurts the teams. It hurts their hometown, their crowd. I mean, it's a huge thing. It's detrimental. And so if we were able, and we talked about this up front, if we were able to come in and essentially fill the schedule, fill those voids that was left, I mean, it's a huge hole. If we were able to fill that, what that would do for the other teams in this league, their ownership group, and their stability. And that was one of the overwhelming things for me and reasons I chose to go with the league was if we can help other owners in this, it's a tight-knit group. And
yep.
if you can help each other, well, you'd be better off. And that, you know, that's a life lesson. If you can help someone, you'd be better off doing that than anything else. And we felt like we can help. It would fit our need. It would help us, and it was a win-win all the way around for all the organizations in the league and for us. So it was really a no-brainer in the end with the offer we were given by the league, and the ownership was very gracious with us, very helpful, and it was a great fit. And, you know, we're familiar with a lot of the teams in this league, you know, San Angelo, Randy Sanders, with Amarillo and Stephanie and her group, and, you know, with the Revolution coming in, I've got, you know, high regard for Tommy B and his staff that he's put together, yourself, and I mean, there's just a ton of really good organizations, you know, Dodge City, Sioux City, and then, you know, the other teams are involved. I mean, there's just a lot of great owners. Everybody's been very kind. Ricky, Rich and Chris, all those owners are have been very, very accommodating and helpful. And, I mean, they're giving us equipment. They're, you know, encouraging me. Man, I got a call from Tommy the other, just out of the blue, Tommy Benizio, as busy as that knucklehead is,
man,
all year long. And right now, right, getting ready for a season and get ready to play us next game, for the very first game for us. And,
yeah,
and I believe it's a home opener for him in the league. The guy picks up the phone and he calls me and says, man, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. I know you're working hard. And, you know, something like that from another owner is a, is it's incredible, man. It's really incredible. It means a lot, and I'm very thankful for the friendships we're garnering with the other owners in the league. So
yeah, definitely. As far, Tommy is one of those guys. He'll pick up the phone and talk to you. He might not necessarily even know you. And the way that you got the opportunity to talk to Tommy is the way that he talks to everybody. He's the same. I've never seen him change. But
well, you know, I thought I was special. And here you're saying he does this with everyone. And I thought I had something going here with Tommy. But
it turns out to be a special relationship, though. I will tell you that, though. And he is that way. But talking about owners, yeah, you're an owner, but you got a little bit different situation as far as what you're doing for the fans, as well as, you know, you can be a fan, but wouldn't it be kind of cool to be an owner as well? So you've kind of opened it up, and you took the motto that the Green Bay Packers have taken in order to do their franchise. Let's explain a little bit about what's going on as far as the ownership. Obviously, you're the majority owner, but you've opened it up for other folks.
And isn't that an incredible thing? You know, a lot of these things that you say they happen by chance. You know, I look back on it. I see myself getting released from the Stars organization. I was hired as the general manager. And then shortly after that, I think 2 weeks later, I was fired as a general manager. So, you know, and you can understand the worry and the stress. What do we do now? How do we move forward? But I look back on it now, over the past 3 weeks, and you can just see the hand of God and all this stuff and his direction, his guidance, and things that are happening. They're supernatural. There's no way we could have done this, without supernatural things occurring, mountains being moved, literally. So, one of the things that's important to me is that this franchise be a city's. That this be the fans, that this be the organization is only here because of the people of this city, and that's why we're putting it together. We're doing a ton of community things here. We're getting into schools, we're getting into high schools with anti-bullying campaigns and charity events and inspiration. Football and sports in general is about self-esteem. That's the purpose of sports. Is self-esteem, building people's character and using a tool or an avenue to make a person better and to encourage them on, to teach them discipline, to teach them, to reach beyond their grasp. And when I'm around people like Coach Bramante, and I'm around football players, guys that are sacrificing their body to play this game for a chance at the upper level to be in sports and to do something they love for a living, it's inspirational, man. I mean, it would encourage you, it inspires me to do the craziest things, like trying to start a franchise in Albuquerque in the matter of 3 weeks. I mean, that's how much it encourages me and inspires me what these guys are doing. So, and it's the city is important. And so I've been given this opportunity as a trust by the people of this community. And, my faith dictates that I've been given this in trust. To be a good steward with, make good decisions, build it so that it's successful. And what's the best way to make a community thing? Give it away. You've got to give it away. And so that's what we've done. We've given it away. We've given away 40% of it in the way of shares, much like the Green Bay Packers. A lot of our, model is based on how the Green Bay Packers do it. You know, we do a little bit more for our ownership group, because if you become a shareholder, you'll actually get lifetime season tickets right on the field with the players. The seating for the ownership group is right around the field. There's room for 800 people to sit around the field, and so as an owner, you get VIP seating right in the action, right by the players. You get a private owner's lounge to get food and drinks. You get to participate in the game activities on the field, and you get to come to a shareholders meeting annually and give your opinion and vote and give direction. You get a VIP parking right next to the stadium. You get free parking right next to the stadium, and you get treated as an owner. This is your team, and it's a small investment. We're selling 400 shares, which equates to 40% of the team, and we're just giving it away back to the city and the people. It's, that's very important to us. So.
Yeah, and looking at that, you got a new building, and you know you're not going to be in the same building that the Stars were in, as a lot of people have said, where minor league sports go to die in the building over over on the other side. You're taking a different route, and describe a little bit of that, and how's ticket sales going for you? I mean, real quick, and you're up. I mean, I'm sure the telephone's ringing to get people in there into the stadium.
Yeah, we got a staff working very hard. We just got the ticket deal finalized, so we're going to be pressing very hard and moving very quickly and getting that done. You know, trying to sell pre-sale tickets. So people are contacting us all the time. How do we get tickets? How do we get season tickets? We want to be in the ownership group. So we're moving very quickly to try to get all of our ducks in a row. And we don't want to leave any stone unturned. We've got one shot at this, and we've got one shot to do this thing right. And so we're moving at warp speed, is a term that gets thrown around a lot here.
Yep.
But we've got to do everything we possibly can to make sure that this thing is successful this year, because we've got one chance of it, and we're so far behind the eight ball. You know, most teams have 6-8 months to work on these types of things, to put the organization and get the equipment and all that stuff in place. But, you know, we look really good. Sometimes longer, no doubt. Boy, I wish I had longer. But, you know, through hard work and through determination and having a lot of people helping us, I'm very confident we'll have a great showing, and we're going to do everything we can to max out that stadium. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of support, a lot of excitement here. Boy, you can feel it. I mean, the excitement is palpable, literally. You know, everybody's abuzz and talking about how great it is. You have to have it here in Albuquerque. Market's here in Albuquerque. Nothing against right. Where the team was before, that other organization. But, boy, here is a market. It's in the heart of Albuquerque. It's the Duke City. It's the Duke City Gladiators playing in the Coliseum, the Tingley Coliseum. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity, a better thing. We're going to put on a great show. We've got, you know, production company coming in to help us with the show, in-game show, pre-game show, halftime show, all that kind of stuff. We've got theme nights coming. Our first home game is going to be Hispanic Day, where we honor the Hispanic culture here of New Mexico. We're bringing in a team from Mexico, an all-star team from Mexico. It's going to be an international game for us, so it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, you've had a whirlwind of what's been going on for you as far as announcing of the team, and then all of a sudden the whirlwind turns into a tornado, and now here you are sitting in the CIF. This is good stuff as far as the league is concerned, as far as the team is concerned, and, you know, I don't know. You know, when you're such a young team, I mean, we're talking 3 weeks in reality. What is the expectations of what's going to happen out on the football field? I mean, is it realistic to think that you won a championship, or is it not? I mean, I guess that's the big question. I mean, as far as what reality compared to wanting something such as a championship, where that comes from?
Well, we've got great expectations. You know, in our organization, you know, on the management side, the front office side, we've got great expectations on our staff. To sell out the stadium and to put on the best show in the league. And so, you know, we move forward with that expectation. You know, it's easy to have high expectations when you bring in some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
You know, we're very fortunate to have Dominic Bramante, the very first Native American, full-blooded Native American head football coach in pro football history. I mean, the guy is an amazing individual. I got to work with him. I was blessed to work with him for a whole season, so I know very intimately what he brings to the table. And he brings a high level of knowledge of the game. He brings a great amount of enthusiasm, and the guy is a recruiting a monster. I mean, he's recruited an incredible team with us. You know, having players like Casey Peters and Emmanuel McPherson, Landrick Brody, you know, Dexter Manley, some of these top-notch players is you know, will put us at a high level. And we anticipate and, you know, we believe that we're going to play at a good level. We're going to be very competitive. You know, we're talking about coming in and surprising some people. So, you know, we've got high expectations with that. And we look forward to a good season with our guys. So, you know, we're behind the eight ball for sure. Our first home game is against a team that's already played four games. So they're seasoned and gelled at that point, and a very good organization to boot, and a great team. And they recruited some good players too. They got an amazing quarterback there that with the Revolution. So I know it's going to be a good game, tough game for us. It's having a game on the road at a good organization like the Revolution is going to be a very tough thing to overcome. But we're working on it. Our guys show up to camp today. Actually, we're going to say tomorrow. They show up to camp today. We start practice tomorrow after physicals and contract signing. We'll do a mass signing. If you look at our roster online, there's no one on there. No players recruited, but we'll be doing a mass signing. We'll surprise everybody. Oh my gosh, they have 30 people, 35 people on the roster. One day, so one
that's
afternoon.
That's going to be good for you. And your community, yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of places that you can go to actually recruit. You have, obviously, New Mexico and the Lobos that are over there, and you got some other local colleges in there as far as recruiting for you. It's got to be a good, at least a good pool locally anyway to grab up some players.
Yeah, we've got quite a few UNM players that are on our roster, former UNM players, Roland Bruno, Emmanuel McPherson. We've got a lot of great players with us that played at UNM. We got a New Mexico State player, Highlands player, Oklahoma player that went to high school here at Manzano, Jesse Polson. We've got a great recruiting class. We've recruited some big guys. We've got a great general at the helm in Casey Peters, who is a seasoned arena quarterback.
Yes.
MVP, co-offensive MVP and in the LSFL 2 years ago. So we've got a great staff of coaches that are coming in. And so I think we're going to hit the ground running. So it's great to see our quarterback coach, Roger Lynn, coming back on staff this year. He's going to be probably going to be our offensive coordinator, and he's got a great history with Casey. He was the quarterback coach when Casey Peters was here and won that co-MVP award. So we're going to hit the ground running, and I think we're going to surprise some people. It's tough to say, what our expectation is, but I can say this with confidence. We have a high expectation because we've brought in the best coaching staff that we can find, one of the best in the business with Dominic Bramante as a head coach, some great supporting coaches, and then a great recruiting class. So it's easy to have high expectations when you've got people like that playing for you. So.
Are you making the road trip to
Allen? I won't be making it to Allen for the first game because I'm doing the wedding. I committed to a wedding about 6 months ago.
Wow. Okay.
I do ministry quite often. I do weddings and funerals and pastoral stuff still. So I committed to a wedding, and there's no way I can get out of it.
You're a firefighter too, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm a full-time. I'm a lieutenant in the fire department. I've been doing that for over a decade. So.
Wow.
There's plenty of stuff to do out here if you ever want to come out. I'll put you to work.
Yeah, Sonny will stay in the snow-capped house here in the Dallas area. So he's defying the odds. Within 3 weeks, put together a football team getting ready to play in the league. Matt, thank you for your time. I'm going to put this up also in the Champions Players Meet fan group. So that'll be out there for everybody to hear as well. So people can hear from you. And thank you for your time here. Sonny is on a snowed-in day. Takes advantage of the time. I appreciate your time, and good luck to you this season.
Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate you doing this with us and you guys' support. Good luck to the Revolution of Season 2. Thanks a lot.
So that was Matt Kayward there with the Duke City Gladiators, filling you in on all the news and what it took in order to get that team. I had that interview a couple of weeks ago with him, but I thought it would be a good time as we are taking on the Duke City Gladiators here live from the Allen Event Center here tonight. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Texas Revolution. Let's talk a little bit about the game that is coming up, and then also, still to come here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, defensive lineman DeMario Dixon, our special guest here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cliff Disker, and I'm with Dallas Media Production, where we help small businesses, probably a lot like you, develop marketing campaigns, lead generation by developing Facebook apps, Twitter apps, things like that, social media management services we do for small businesses, and high-definition interactive video productions. So don't wait. Let's get this going right now. Give me a call at 214-760-3854 or shoot me a quick email at cliffdisker@gmail.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lee Ligon with Ligon Chiropractic and Wellness. I am a fourth-generation Texan, and I grew up right here in Dallas. I then went on to Parker College of Chiropractic and got my doctorate in chiropractic in 1997. I've worked on rock stars, on actors, on politicians, professional athletes, young gymnasts, all the way up to 300-pound linemen. If you've been suffering from any kind of pain, neck pain, back pain, anything like that, or have any questions, I invite you to come on down to my office, and let's sit down and talk about it. I offer a free consultation, and let's see if I can help you. Dr. Lee Ligon, Ligon Chiropractic and Wellness.
What you seeing didn't start with LL today. Take it from me, Run DMC paved the way with Jam Master J to K-I-N-G. Run D and Dr. Pepper, that's originality. The taste of Dr. Pepper. The taste of originality. Salutes individuality.
Individual.
It's life, personality. Be you, do what you do.
Be you.
Be you, nothing better than Dr. Pepper.
Run DMC and Jam
Dr. Pepper.
I have one customer said, if we know it's going to be difficult, we know it needs to be done fast, they're going to call Executive Press.
Every employee here is the face of our company. We're able to help our clients go from the design phase of their project all the way through printing and mailing so that they're able to reach their target market. We work very hard on making sure that we get our clients' jobs out on time with good quality and at a competitive price.
We want our customers to feel like we are their print partner, and we are. Their job is just as important to us as it is to them.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Executive Press, located at 1400 Presidential Drive, Suite 110, located in Richardson, Texas. Or give them a call at 214-217-7000. That's 214-217-7000. And tell them Sonny sent you.
How would you like the opportunity to get your business in front of 1 billion people each month? I'm Fred with Fred Schatz Photo and Video, and I help business owners like you get your message out through YouTube. Statistics show that 1 billion unique visitors search YouTube each month, but if you don't have a video for your business or your service, then you won't be found. When you're ready to harness the power of YouTube, give us a call at Fred Schatz Photography and Video, and we'll help get you and your business in front of those billion people.
This is Sonny Clark, the radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Fred Schatz Photography, located on the web at www.fredschatz.com, or give them a call at 469-718-9749. That's 469-718-9749.
All right, everybody, welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's the pregame show of your Texas Revolution, taking on the Duke City Gladiators. You heard from the owner of the Duke City Gladiators. I wanted to put the whole interview up. It was a long interview. I realize that, folks, but there was a lot of information in that interview I wanted people to know about and hear about, so I put the whole thing up. So we're in the extended pregame show, which is the good thing about what we do. We can make it as long as we need to, or as short as we need to, or whatever the case may be. So, your Texas Revolution 1-1 on the season as they make their way back to the Allen Event Center as they got the victory the last time they were here in a premier game, a preseason game against the North Texas Crunch. However, the Texas Revolution took the loss this year, the first opening night, against the Salina Bombers. If you heard that coverage here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we had some technical difficulties and things of that sort as well for that game. However, we got the second half all squared away. However, that game resulted in a loss of 24 34-27 in favor of the Salina Bombers. So the Revolution started off 0-1 out on the season. So when they hit the road, they are definitely focused and ready to go. And they made some mistakes out on the football field, let's be honest, against the Bandits of San Angelo. But they did get the victory, 42-36. And that was one of the important things. They needed to get that check mark underneath the W side of the record. They didn't want to be in the doghouse 0-2 to start off this season. So the Revolution, they went ahead and, you know, one of the problems for the Revolution, just in looking at what's going on, a lot of penalties against Salina, and they kept coming even in the second game as they took on the Bandits in San Angelo. So the Revolution, what they ended up doing is they went into San Angelo with a different attitude. They went into San Angelo with the idea that they were going to come back with a victory, and they definitely turned it up. So, but in that game, we saw the Salina Bombers get on top of the Texas Revolution 6-0. However, there was a blocked extra point, which was a pure hustle play. If you got the opportunity to see that, that was huge. There were also some big-time plays that you did not hear on the highlight reel. You know, kicking unit getting pressure to where they actually couldn't kick the ball, and they had to go back and they threw the ball, and then the ball was intercepted. That was one that didn't make the highlight reel, but it was there. Lots of touchdowns, 3 touchdowns for Darius Fudge in this game, as he had a very easy, you know, game for him. And I say that because when he is on the play where he actually went to the far side, as we were covering the game, he went to the far side, Dasher, and he reversed the field, that's the Darius Fudge that we're used to seeing. 3 touchdowns for Darius Fudge in this football game. Huge night for him. And there's something to be said about that. Then Frankie Solomon Jr., his effort with returning a missed kick by the Bandits, and him literally carrying about 4 or 5 Bandit players for 10 yards to take it back to the 10-yard line. Your quarterback for your Texas Revolution, Robert Kent, he went 16-22 for 176 yards and 3 touchdown passes. But San Angelo, they definitely stayed into it. They took advantage of the mistakes that the Revolution had. There was a kickoff where it bounced off Darius Fudge's chest and went up in the air. They recovered it. Turnover on downs, just some things that ended up happening, they were able to get done. But the quarterback for the Bandits, Crawford, he went 12-23 for 193 yards and a touchdown. So he threw 2 interceptions, one to Benning and the other to Willis. And at the end of the game, there was a strip of the ball. Willis stripped the ball, and Frankie Solomon Jr. came up with the ball and then handed it to Rashad Williams to get into the end zone. They didn't get into the end zone, but that's what iced the cake in that game. Palmer, he had a little bit better, you know, better time kicking the football, as he was 4-for-5 in extra points. He missed 1 field goal attempt as well. But the Revolution, 64 yards on 9 penalties. So it went down from 15 penalties down to 9. Frankie Solomon Jr. had 6 kickoff returns for 96 yards, a forced fumble that, you know, helped, you know, clear the clock. I was talking to him. They gave that forced fumble to Frankie Solomon Jr., but it was actually Willis who stripped the ball. Frankie Solomon Jr. just came up with the ball after it hit the ground. So the Texas Revolution are 1-1 going into the Allen Event Center to take on the New Mexico Duke City. I was going to say New Mexico Stars, as they're no longer in the league, but the Duke City Gladiators here tonight at 7 p.m. So, also, this is a big, big-time game as far as activities. Folks, first of all, you're at the Allen Event Center, home of free parking, by the way. That saves you, you know, in between, what, $10 or more, depending on where you would go for a venue, okay? All right. Also, don't forget, with every paid adult, you get a child's seat for free, okay? So don't forget about that. That is huge within itself, okay? You have the Texas Revolution. If you're going through football withdrawals, this is the place to be, okay? If you don't know there's football going on, you're just not paying attention. But we're getting it out there as much as we can. Don't forget about Texas Revolution indoor football. Also, hey, at halftime, it's going to be cool. I'm glad we pre-record our halftime show because I want to watch it again because last year was great. The Dachshund Hounds are having their races at halftime. It's going to be so cool. I loved it last year. So, you know, so all around family entertainment, free parking, free tickets for kids. You know, Alamo's going to be out there. The Revolution Dancers, two-time Dancers of the Year, are going to be out there. After the game, you can get out on the football field and go in with a meet and greet, get pictures, get autographs of your favorite players and the dancers and anybody else that might be out there. You can mingle amongst them. So, family fun entertainment at an affordable cost compared to some of the other sporting events that are out there. Get on out there. Don't forget about the Texas Revolution taking on the Duke City Gladiators. So what we're going to do now here, we're going to go and do another quick break. And when we come back here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we're going to go ahead and bring on the defensive lineman for your Texas Revolution. It's going to be DeMario Dixon. We'll be right back here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.
I'm Professor Burke from Farmers Insurance, and this is 30 Seconds of Smart. So you want to save money on your auto insurance. Get an alarm, drive less,
taxi,
graduate, bundle policies, don't get pulled over, make automatic payments,
beep, boop, beep, beep, boop,
and of course, talk to farmers. Because the more you know about auto insurance, the more you can save.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Get smarter about your insurance at farmers.com.
Golden Corral versus Seafood Sticker Shock. At most seafood restaurants, the real catch is the price. Not Golden Corral. Seafood spectacular. Dinner's just $11.99. New crispy fish tacos, endless jumbo shrimp, non-stop teriyaki glazed salmon, plus bone-in catfish and hand-breaded calamari. Looks like Golden Corral wins again. Golden Corral, the best buffet in the USA.
Hi, my name is Holt McCallany. I'm an actor in films and television. I had to design a website, and I hired several different companies. I was never happy with any of the work that they did until I found Internet Marketing Images. They're very competitively priced, and they can handle all of your social media for you. So whether you're in sales, or it's a corporate account, or you're a celebrity that just doesn't have time to always manage all the social media, try Internet Marketing Images.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to stop on by Internet Marketing Images on the web at www.IMI.com or give them a call toll free 877-469-9322.
The heat is on. New Nissans have been reallocated to the fastest growing Nissan dealership in North Texas. That's us, Nissan of McKinney. But maybe you're asking, why Nissan of McKinney? It's because we have selection. Some might even say the biggest, with over 1,000 to choose from. Plus, we've got perks. Get 2 years free maintenance on any new Nissan, and discounts as high as $14,000. Get Rogues and Altimas for $18,995, or 0% for 60 months. Because if Nissan builds it, we discount it. NissanofMcKinney.com.
We at Ortho Texas are privileged to be able to take care of people who are sick and unable to get around. And we take them from being unable to ambulate, use their arms, shoulders, and make them functional and whole again. Each day, to take them from a sick, hurt state to one in which they are functional and able to carry out their everyday activities. Each facility has at its disposal an MRI unit, which allows us to rapidly go through advanced imaging on somebody's body part that's been injured. We all have physical therapy right on site with the top-notch therapist in the Metroplex.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets,
it's amazing what you can really plug into. Shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show for our pregame show, as we are online here with our special guest. I want to tell you, this is a guy that came in last year that made an impact, and we talk about impact even though that the season wasn't as good as we all wanted. There was still a guy that went ahead and made that impact. I'm talking about a 6'2", 250-pound defensive lineman out of Addison, Texas. He went to the college with the Mean Green. I call it the Mean Green up there. DeMario Dixon, how you doing, DeMario?
I'm doing pretty good, son. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you are a guy that is in this area, which was kind of interesting. When the Revolution are here, they're local. They're something that you were able to snag onto after you put some time up in there in North Texas. How did it come about that you found out about the Texas Revolution and then, of course, ultimately ended up on the team?
Okay, well, first, I started off playing football in Louisiana, and that was my first year of arena football. And I met Coach Williams, which became the head coach last year. And I sent him a Facebook message, and I told him, hey, Coach, you know about my talent, and I would love to have the opportunity to make your team this spring for the Texas Revolution. And, I congratulated him on the job and everything. And he said he'll get back with me. And so he gave me a call a few weeks later and said, are you still interested? And then the rest is history.
Yeah, you went out and you had a pretty good rookie season. You know a little bit about that rookie season as you went through ups and downs. But as a guy, like I said in the intro, you're talking about a guy that stood out, and you stood out big time. Let people know a little bit about what you did last year out on the football field for the Texas Revolution. As far as your numbers, your stats, what did you put out on the football field with the Revs?
I tied the leading third in sacks. And it was tied at 8, and I was number 1 in tackles for a loss, and that was for anyone on defense. So I was number 1 in my position, and as far as the linebackers too. Had a couple of forced fumbles, and that completed my stats. That completed my stats, and I made second team all ISL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Second team all IFL, which me personally, I thought you should have got, first team IFL. But then again, that's me being greedy about getting it, getting all I guys in there. Last year compared to it's just one of those things. But let's take a look at last year compared to this year. You got a different mindset going into this season. Not that necessarily things that happened were bad, but are you seeing any differences from last year to this year as far as preparation, as far as what you're seeing on the football field? What do you think the big difference is between last year to this year?
I would have to go with the coaching staff. We have a more experienced coaching staff. Not to take anything away from the guys from last year, but we have some guys with NFL experience. We got guys who coach NFL players, and it's just that all of that knowledge that they have alone, it has been pushing us forward, and I really appreciate it, and I'm honored to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, and you're right. You look at the coaching staff, you got a guy who played in the indoor game as well as the outdoor game, and that being your head coach. I mean, he played for the Dallas Cowboys. He also played in the indoor game. He even played in the XFL. I don't know if you knew that or not. He played in that wrestling league where they had a football team.
I didn't know the XFL. Okay.
Yeah, he did that with the XFL, and you got that guy. You got the Larry Sanders, who's got the big Super Bowl ring, playing for the Patriots and did a lot of time with Cardinals. That's how I knew him. Larry Sanders was one of my favorite players. You got, and then Jim Welter, then you got Brett Bauer. I mean, you got one of the better coaching staffs out on the football field this year.
Sir.
So
And there's something to be said about that. But I was, I don't know, I hope you haven't read the article, but I put up an article, and this was the first road game I actually went with the Revolution to a game out on the road. And I don't know, and you're going to verify this for me as well, because I put it out there as something that I thought I knew, but I just really didn't, obviously. When you're looking at halftime, when I kind of wandered my way down there at halftime, which I normally at halftime, I stay away, but when I just wandered down there, I saw something interesting. I saw guys actually, instead of jumping on someone who had made a mistake, they're actually helping them, showing them physically how to get off blocks, what do you got to do. And I saw more of encouragement instead of jumping on a player who had made a mistake, and you guys took it on as a team. Is that something that regularly happens each and every year, or is that something that has been generated from this year because of the talent that you have on this team?
Right, it varies football team to football team, but as far as what I've been a part of, that was great to see. It was amazing to see. Love that type of camaraderie, and guys just want others to do better. That was amazing to me, and it's honestly rare. Honestly, you know, you have guys who will encourage, you know, their buddies on the team, but for someone to come across over here and tell me this, or me tell another guy that, and, you know, spread the word amongst the defense and the offense, I mean, it just sends power coming into that second half.
Definitely, and it's huge, because there were some mistakes, obvious mistakes done at halftime, and, you know, I've been in other locker rooms, and that's why I kind of singled this one out. Obviously, they're my team, but at the same time, I usually call them out if there's a problem and something that I see that I think, you know, I'll call them out, and that's one of the good things about me being what I am. When I saw that, I walked down there, you guys showing how to get off blocks, what you could do to make a move, to make a run. I was dumbfounded by that, because I have not seen that in locker rooms. But what I think also what it wasn't guys after, you know, trying to give a tip and the person not taking offense to get the tip. I think that was so huge, DeMario. I mean, that as far as that's concerned, I mean, is that something that you've seen a lot in a lot of locker rooms, or are you like me who's seen people say, hey, get out of my face, I know that, you know?
But yeah, more right.
More of accepting of a third party's vantage point instead of being right there on the football field.
Right. It's a lot of guys on this team that really get it. They get what it takes to go to a championship, win a championship, come together as a team, understand that family concept that is needed on the football team. We have a great group of guys that really understand that. And that's one thing I noticed right away from any other team that I have ever played on. Like, this team, we have came close in a very short period of time. And hats off the coach, because one thing that I really appreciated, I'm a veteran guy, but I do, these guys that he brought in, like, they are some great veteran guys. Like, they understand what their role is, and they have to play for the younger guys, and even helping me out. I mean, I have had a great start to the season, and I'm gonna let you know it has been because of the guys that coach brought in for the offensive line, the guys that he helped, that he brought in on the defensive side of the ball, that has actually helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you got the rest of the year. The first game, jitters, I'm sure. I mean, you know, was there a difference between the game from Salina and going into the Bandits this past week? What was the mindset after the loss in Salina going in to take on the Bandits?
The mindset was never to get that feeling again. We all agreed on that. We all know that we beat ourselves. We shot ourselves in the foot multiple times.
Yep.
And we all understood that. We cleaned things up in practice, and we expected nothing but what happened last Saturday.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about being all on the same page. So I guess after you get that first game out in Salina, was everybody up on the same page heading into San Angelo?
Oh, everybody was on the same page. Everybody was ready to go out there and work. I mean, like I said, we were an extra focus coming in. Like, we had a really great week of practice, and man, we were just ready to roll. And that, like you were saying about the first game jitters. I mean, I think it was a lot of that going on, and we do have a few guys that have never played the game before, so they were getting used to rules, getting used to, you know, certain steps that you have to take, and you know, alignment and things like that. But those things being cleared up right now.
Definitely, and I seen it. It was something that I saw going into the game. It was just different even coming out of the tunnel. So I thought it was definitely noticeable when you hit the floor, even on the first play. So let me just ask you this. As you are out on the football field, first drive, San Angelo, you guys give up the touchdown. What was the feeling at that point? Because at that point in teams past, that is something that usually brings a negative vibe into it, already being down. But I think, was it the block extra point that kind of got you back into it after that happened?
You always got to try to take the positive out of every play, and know what you have to learn from going into the next play, going to the next drive. And that's really what I mean. We had to first. I had to go to my coach when we hit that sideline. He said, "Forget about it. That's one touchdown. Let's get back on that field, get something to stop." But that block extra point did help it out, because we knew if we scored, we made our extra point, we up one. The game ended right there. We won. So that's something to look at going in, that we score, we up. So we built off of that.
Definitely. You're going in, you're taking on a team that, you know, I don't know what the mindset is going into a team, you know, such as the Gladiators, a team that I don't know what their situation is, and neither do you. It's kind of interesting. The Stars go out, but you kind of know a little bit about the Stars, and you got most of those players coming back home. This has got to be a big game for you as far as the first regular season at home at the Allen Event Center.
Yes, it is a big game. We're looking to go up 2 wins. And we really don't know much about the team, but at the same time, if we have been correcting the mistakes, studying ourselves, everything should, you know, fall right into place, basically. Because if we're working on the things that we know that we were lacking in for the past 2 weeks, we should definitely be able to capitalize on those things and carry on to this third game and come away with a win.
Yeah, it is. It's something going into it. By the way, how was practice so far this week? I mean, obviously, we're doing this Thursday early, but you guys have been practicing. How's the attitude? How's practice going this week?
Well, practice, we've been on fire. Oh, my goodness, competing like crazy. We got a couple new guys in that should be able to help us out. I mean, I had a great feeling this week. It was a short week. And we had to start a little bit early, but man, guys got out there and started getting after it, and said competing, and man, just getting better, building that chemistry. I mean, like our offense, man, they're clicking. Defense, man, we're ready to attack. It's beautiful. I just cannot wait until Friday night.
I bet you. What do you do? I mean, you get up. We're doing this Thursday, okay? We're doing this Thursday morning for everybody that knows. I mean, this is a guy that's got to wait not 24 hours, but he's got to wait close to 36 hours to hit the field to take on this football team. So, what do you do during that time? Getting ready, get your mindset straight for the game that is happening. I mean, I don't think it's jitters. I think it's just more about being on the football field in game time situations.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely about being on that game-time situation. But you got to take that time to relax your mind, definitely your body, and take care of our body, go to treatment, you know, soak it, cold.
Yeah, it is. See, so it's preparation. It's something that you got to do each and every game. I mean, it's got to be more because you're home. You got a lot of family hitting the Allen Event Center here, coming up here on Friday?
Yes, I mean, not just a big crowd, but I do have a few friends, and I have some few family members that will come out, and I'm going to put on the show for them.
So did you enter a dog into the Dachshund hound races that are going to be happening at halftime? Did you enter? Do you have a Dachshund by any chance?
I don't.
But I'll tell you, the Revolution, they know how to have fun. I mean, looking at the halftime, they've put it together. So it's an all around product. Never mind that, it's football. And if you're not paying attention, football's still going on, folks, with the Texas Revolution as they are taking on the Duke City Gladiators live from the Allen Event Center. I'd like to thank DeMario Dixon for his time here and look forward to seeing that. Man, I'm just like you. I'm jarred. I'm ready to go right now.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay, that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame show. Check back a little bit later for coverage a little bit more when we bring in the color commentator, Bill Cerna. However, we wanted to get the pregame show up as soon as possible, and when Bill is available, we'll get that up and we'll replace it and have him on the end. Until then, hope everybody has a good day, and we will see you at the game on Thursday night as the Texas Revolution taking on the Duke City Gladiators. Have a good one. Bye-bye.